West Tigers fans, the season didn't start as we would have hoped. The boys going down pretty heavily in Canberra, but were there any positives to take out of the game? We're going to break it all down tonight on the first regular season game review episode of the West Life Podcast. Welcome into another episode of the West Life Podcast, our first regular season game review of the year. The season finally kicked off, not the best of starts, but look, I guess as West Tigers fans coming into the season, we have high hopes and look, we'll discuss, break the show down tonight, see if we can find any positives and move on to round two next week when we have our first game at Leichhardt Oval. At Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter, give us a follow, please. In the profiles of those pages, you'll find our link tree, or go to westtigers.com.au if you want to find, if you're listening to this on audio and you want to find the YouTube version, or you're on YouTube and you want to find the audio version, or everything that we do, including our Patreon as well. Shouts to our Patreon members, the Discord firing away on game day. I started up a game day channel on our Discord, patreon.com/westlife. If you want to join us there, and shouts to everyone on our YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, share, all those good things. Help us with the algorithm. The YouTube channel is firing up. We're getting super chats from our loyal listeners as well that come through as well. So let's throw to the boys. Let's go to... Hello, Mr. Thompson. How are you this evening?
Yeah, g'day, Josh. G'day, Rob. G'day, everyone who's watching or listening in. I'm pretty good this evening. Thanks, Josh. Enjoying a nice, relaxing Monday evening after what was a rather disappointing first game up overall. But footy's back and the comp as a whole seems to be going pretty well. So that's always a good sign.
And coming in from the Red Room, Roberto Bishara. How are you this evening? What was the emotions like for you on Saturday afternoon? You were obviously down in Canberra watching the game live. Headed down the freeway, the 3-hour drive there and 3-hour drive back. What was it like at the ground on Saturday?
Well, firstly, hi to both you gentlemen and everyone watching and listening in. I got to be honest, guys, it was a victory for me before I even got to the ground. Just to be able to have my son say to me, "Dad, I feel like going to the footy again," you know, earlier in the week. Once he said that, like, I was so keen to go. My wife purchased some tickets online on Thursday night, and we took the drive down, had a great chat in the car, and got to the game. And I was actually surprised, even though it was a pro-dominant, you know, like Canberra crowd, if you're watching the game on TV at the northeastern side of the field, you would have been quite Tigers contingent. Wish I knew where they were sitting, because I would have sat right with them. I was sitting actually in the same area, but like higher up, just a level up amongst the Canberra fans, who got to learn that I wasn't very shy with my cheering. Enjoyed the day. Look, you know, got off to a really poor start. There were a lot of good things individually, and then, you know, some resilience in sections, which I really liked. Disappointed with quite a few things, but, you know, obviously when you want to talk about the game, Josh, we'll go into that. But yeah, look, just great drive down there. Enjoyed it. I haven't been to Canberra for a few years. Had a great day out with my son, and, you know, like, that's what it's all about. You know, footy's about, you know, family and sharing moments together, whether they're wins or losses, and it was just a really great day.
Absolutely. Look forward to doing that with my Westlife family, you guys, next weekend against the Sharkies. Right, a few things. We'll get into the Benji Marshall press conference. So Benji had a couple of things to say after the game. Let's start with basically a summary of the game itself.
Yeah, I was. ourselves. We got back to 14-12, and resilience-wise, being 14-0 down against Canberra at home, it's quite a tough ask to come back, but credit to the boys, they fought back. But after that, we went away from the things we spoke about doing this week. We put in two chip kicks, which we haven't practiced, and off the back of it, conceded two soft tries. That are unacceptable.
Benji, what did you see in that first 15 minutes to go in that 14-0 hole? What did you put that down to?
Well, they had 9 sets to our 1 at one stage, and we were just tackling the whole time. And with a team like that, with Joseph Tarpany and Form, the way he's playing, and Papali, the way they're playing, if you don't get in front and they get the momentum, they're hard to stop. And they played a very simple style, which was direct and hard, and we knew that, and we just didn't match up with them.
What sort of stands out to you more?
As Benji mentioned, obviously the comeback, it was 14-0, and we got it back to 14-12. I feel like the West Tigers of old would have just let that heads would have gone down, and like the scoreline in the end obviously did blow out again, but to get us back into the game was something to take away at least.
Yeah, like at that point there was still probably what, 65 minutes left in the game. I think it was 14-0 after about 15 minutes thereabouts. Yeah, it was really good to see that the resilience improved. The defense for that first little period before we did start to concede those tries was okay, despite them making a couple of breaks here and there. But yeah, the resilience was probably one of the most impressive things to come from that game. They hung in there. Appy's obviously working with this team really hard on not dropping your heads when things start to go against you. But in saying that, it's only been one game. There's a lot more games to go. A lot can change. And at this point, at that point of the season, our record was still 0-0. So it would be interesting to see if we did start to fall a lot further behind. If the head started to drop, I'm hoping that wouldn't be the case, but so far, resilience is good.
Rob, at the ground, what was when the Tigers did put those couple of tries on? Did the Canberra, was there a bit of nerves amongst the Canberra contingent? And obviously, you did mention the West Tigers, that corner, the West Tigers fans, they seemed to liven up a little bit as well.
Our fans certainly livened up. It was actually gave me goosebumps because, you know, we're a fan base just wanting some success, wanting to cheer some victories and have fun. Yeah, look, the Canberra guys were getting nervous because you could hear them sort of laughing and joking around, especially, you know, one guy near us. And, you know, I think he was expecting it to be 30-40 nil at halftime, which, to be fair, a lot of Tigers teams would have done that in the past. Look, there's a lot I don't agree with in what Benji said in that presser clip that you've just played there, Josh. And before I address that, I just want to say, like, obviously everything I say is my opinion, and we have to give content, you know, for a show like this if it's going for an hour. And when you lose, obviously a lot of the stuff, you know, we're going to say more negative things and positive things, obviously. But if I criticise a player or criticise a decision or criticise a coach or whatever, it's just my opinion. Take it with a grain of salt. Doesn't mean that the person can't play or the person can't coach or whatever. But I just think, we've got to call it as we see it, and we've got to be honest and authentic. So it's not, we love the club, we want everyone to succeed. But in terms of that first 15 minutes, as Aaron said, I'll tell you where the resilience was. Like our first set, we lost the ball. I think Fata Ape threw a really poor pass to someone's feet. It might have been Sullivan's, and they got the ball, and then they literally had 8 or 9 sets in the row. The good thing was, after being camped on our line for the first 5 minutes, Canberra just had to go for a penalty goal. Like most teams, when they got that many sets in a row, or like 2 or 3 sets in a row, they keep the pressure on, they try and score a try. Canberra couldn't score a try, so they kicked a goal. What was poor afterwards, obviously, is like from the kickoff, we saw some poor one-on-one defence. I want to, you know, for what Benji said about those two chip kicks that we didn't practice, he's 100% right. But if you look at those two instances, I think he's being quite unfair. So one of them was when Buller got an inside ball, like as he was trying to run through on the last tackle, and like he's either going to get smashed 35 to 40 metres out, or he's going to kick the ball. Like maybe he could have put a shorter kick in or something like that. And then the other kick he's referring to is when Fata Ape kicked the ball. Now, if you want to be really fair to Fata Ape, Appy Korosau got the ball from dummy half and went on the short side to Galvin, when he could have given it to Sullivan in the middle of the field, who would have had time to kick it. And Galvin gets the ball, gives it to Fata Ape, last tackle, halfway line, puts in a kick, it didn't work. And, like, if you watch other games from the weekend, like Brisbane on Friday night, they destroyed Souths with little chip kicks. all game, like four or five chip kicks, whether it was a cross field kick, little chip kick. Like, he's right, we didn't practice it, but I feel they had to kick it because there was literally no choice because their teammates had put him in a position to kick it. But look, the positive from all that is we did get back to 14-12. And, you know, we had chances early in this. I mean, you haven't got to the second half yet, but we were camped on their line for the first 10 minutes of the second half. We had like 73% of the possession for that first 10 minutes of the second half. And we went back to our old attacking style where I felt in the first half, you know, there were a lot of things we did that we don't normally see. Like Benji saying, you know, we didn't practice the chip kicks. I would hazard a guess and say on the last tackle 20 metres out from Canberra's line, we're putting in a kick. I don't think Lockie Galvin would have practiced running the ball, passing it inside to Buller, and then Buller flick passing a ball to, you know, Samuel Afenu. So we got a try out of that as well from something I'm very sure we didn't practice as a last tackle option. So, look, sometimes you just get in positions where you see something and you got to go for it. And I think those kicks, while they did hurt us, like they weren't executed properly, I think both those players had to kick the ball or they're conceding the ball near halfway line. And then Benji would have said, well, we didn't practice to get tackled with the ball just on the other side of halfway. You know what I mean? So I'm actually taking a bit of heat off the players here. I'm not blaming Benji. I'm just disagreeing with how Benji's looking at it.
Here's Benji talking about the decision to take to put Aiden Caesar on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll pick every week which team we think's best for that week. If we think Lockie's the best option, then we'll go with that.
Was it always a plan to bring that for Bucky?
I just said to Aiden before the game, there's no real plan for it, depending on what we need. And at that time of the game, I thought we needed a little bit of organisation and a bit of experience. And so it was a big ask for him to go on down 12 points and turn that around. And unfortunately, we couldn't get done.
As this, look, as Rob said, we're not experts and we support Benji and he knows best and knows everything that's obviously gone on with training and practice and everything. But to say that he wanted some organisation and experience in the halves late in the game after we were down, it's like we questioned Caesar off the bench in our preview and it seemed like it kind of proved itself that it was a weird decision at the very least.
Yeah, it seemed really strange, especially because after Caesar came onto the field, our defense was a lot better. And they did seem to have a lot more direction in attack as well. Even though we didn't score any points, obviously that will likely come with time. But yeah, that to me was like probably the biggest turning point of the second half was the fact that we didn't concede anywhere near as many points as we did that in the first 50 minutes or so. And the team looked better, both attack and defense. It was a strange decision. We'll have to wait and see team lists tomorrow and see if any changes are made.
Rob, you're obviously pretty critical and concerned of this decision by Benji last preview as well, as just said.
Yeah, I'm it's like I said, I'm not the coach, but that was just one of the worst decisions I could have absolutely imagined. It was very much like leaving Coruscant on the bench for the first game last year because he had a calf injury. My take on Aiden Caesar is if he was injured, do not play him. Or if he's injured but you feel like you need to play him, start with him because he just said we needed some experience and direction. And you know, you need that at the start of the game, in the start of the year to set the tone. Like, I'm going to put Aaron on the spot here. Aaron, do you know roughly how many games our 1-7 have played combined prior to Saturday?
Well, I've already gone and worked that out, Rob. Our 1-7 have played 306 games prior to, obviously, our first game this year, and that's with two debutants.
And that's what I mean. So that there's even more reason to play Caesar. If you're looking at it from a, like, if we just break down Bud Sullivan. And like I say, I'm not saying Bud Sullivan's a bad player, but he had a bad game. The Bud Sullivan I saw that played against us last year looked arrogant, looked cocky, had a swagger, demanded the ball, scored two tries, looked like he's, you know, not a big guy, but he played like he was 10 feet tall. The Bud Sullivan I saw on Saturday was timid. His kicking game was absolutely bland. They were either high with no chases going on them or too deep. Even some of the kicks for touch were too shallow. His tackling was just grab. Like, I didn't see him commit his full body. He cost us a few of those tries. In particular, the one from Ethan Strange. Like, we had two blokes holding up. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Joseph Tapine or something like that. And we had maybe, I think it might have been Appy and Saifarth in the tackle. And he just came in for no reason to go around the ankles. Like, it literally felt like he was, you know, like padding his stats. And then he ran back into the line half, like, you know, running with his back to the defence. Strange gets the ball. Buller has to pop up forward because he can see Sullivan's left a hole and he goes straight through. And then obviously, you know, we can talk about Xavier Savage's try later on. I just think he shouldn't have been there. Also with Aiden Caesar, it gives you Aiden Caesar and Lockie Galvin with two kicking games where one's a left-footer, one's a right-footer, so you can play Caesar on the left side of the ruck, Galvin on the right side, so you're not getting cramped for space if you do have to kick. His defence is more solid. I thought his passing was better when he came on the field. I mean, look, the game was still available to win. Like, we were down, I think, 24-12, and he came on in the 55th minute. So, like, we were still two converted tries behind. Like, it still could have been one. But I just think when you've got such a young, inexperienced back line, and, look, honestly, I want to do a two-hour podcast on Lockie Galvin. Like, I just came – all I could think of on the way home from Canberra is sign this bloke up, like, lock him up. Mm. I know he's contracted, but – give him what he's worth. Every NRL club is going to want him. For that age, I don't think we've had a smarter player ever as a junior come through our club in 25 years. And that's including Marshall, that's including Farrow, like Tedesco's, Moses, anyone that's come through. But forcing Sullivan to play like seven, like as halfback and organiser, was a poor man's version of what we've done to Luke Brooks for over 10 years. Like, he's not an organiser. He's a running 5'8". He should never have the number seven on his back. I know it's only a number, but he was first receiver and meant to be game manager. And, you know, we can see what Brooks has done already in two games for Manly. So I think Sullivan is not an organiser. He shouldn't be there. His natural position is 5'8". And are we going to go down the path again like we did last year where, you know, we played Luke Brooks as a seven and the year before when Sheen's shifted Hastings to 13 and play players out of position? Like, I think, you know, look, I said it last week and the week before, as a club, we've got inexperienced coaches. We've got a young, very talented, but inexperienced NRL 30-man squad. And some of them are experienced, but if you look at our you know, depth from, say, 18 to 30, they're super young. They've hardly played a game. This is going to be a big learning curve for players, team, coaches. You know, we got combinations to be formed. Like, we've thrown two blokes that, you know, haven't played a game together. Where Caesar's played in Canberra, you know, he understands what it's like to have that atmosphere with, you know, 80% of the crowd going for Canberra. I think the wise thing would have been to have Caesar there to calm things down, and we might not have got down 14-0. We just needed an experienced head, and I just thought it was just an awful decision not to start him and then go the other way. If when the game's over with a few minutes left at 32-12, if Aiden Caesar has a twinge in his hamstring, then get him off. Why are we playing him if we're 20 points down? The game's over with a few minutes left. So I didn't get it. You know, if they're not going to listen to the show anyway, but if any of them are listening, you know, they don't care what I think. To be honest, I don't care what they think. I just want what's best for the team. But I just thought it was a very poor decision not to start him. And look, we may not have won the game, but when you got a team that's come last, every decision we make has to be it has to be better than other teams because we have got a weaker team. And I just expected more from Benji. We've built our whole preseason about Aiden Caesar. We had two trial games where Aiden Caesar's been first receiver, and he was right to play after all because we thought last week there's no way he's playing. He's just, you know, for ducks and drakes, he's just named him on the bench and he's going to be a late withdrawal or Capola or De Silva's going to get promoted. And it just never happened. I was like, wow. He actually kept him on the bench for 55 minutes and Sullivan was just so awful. And I don't know, guys. To me, that was a red flag. But it's one game. You know, it's one game. We might come out and do a number on Cronulla this week. But I just think we've got to be better with our team selection. If you can't pick your best 13 or your best 17, that's a real issue. And you know, maybe I'm in the minority. Maybe people think you're overreacting. But I just think given we had two debutants, like why would you put Galvin with someone that's hardly played a game in Bud Sullivan? He's had a dozen games of first grade or whatever. When you could have had him with a bloke that's lived in Canberra, played on that ground, knows every blade of grass of it. I just think it was a poor decision.
Look, we do know people within the club do listen to the show. They've literally told us that. I highly doubt Benji's probably, it's family time for Benji this time of night. I highly doubt he or, I only know of one player, a now former player that actually listens to the show. But look, I think our opinions on this whole thing, the halves thing, is pretty much the same. And I would assume that most of the fan base, just judging off social media and the comments that are pouring in now on our stream, saying that they agree with you. It's not like it's just us three that have this opinion that's different to everyone else. Literally everyone, you can call the thousands of fans couch critics, but it's a very
see,
weird
see, Josh if you don't mind me saying, I look at the bigger picture too. Like, this is out of our hands now, but I really want to see how Luke Brooks goes for the rest of the year with Manly. I'll tell you why. Because, and it's just, you know, that even though the media love to run with narratives that put shit on us, etc., you know, they would have every right if Luke Brooks blossoms at Manly. And they'll say, you know what, the Tigers were stupid. They should have played him as a running 5'8". And, like, we only did that for a couple of games, literally three games before Madge got sacked. We had the back-to-back wins when we were heavy underdogs against Parra and South. I think we might have beat Canterbury, but one of them wasn't there. One of our halves wasn't there. And then he played at 5'8" against South in Madge's last game. And other than that, like, we tried to make him a game manager again. And you see other teams, you know, like Hastings isn't playing as lock. He plays as a halfback. And, you know, Billy Walters was a reserve grade number six. And this is pre-Sheens and pre-Benji. This is just us in general. This was Madge. But, you know, now he's a successful hooker. And then you go to other players that never got a look in at our club, whether it's Tyson Gamble or, gosh, there's half the Manly team. You know, it's going to get to a point where the media is going to run with a narrative that you can't be successful at the Tigers. You know, go somewhere else and play somewhere else, you're better. Because look at all these other examples, how they blossom at the Tigers. So, you know, that's what worries me. And when I think of that, you know, I think of, you know, well, what would Galvin's manager say to him if we offered him a massive contract extension and another club says, well, look how these guys have gone when they left that club. Like, you're just going to be a much better player at another club. So I just think there's more reasons other than winning games, guys, that we have to be better at everything we do. So, and I just don't want that narrative to happen with Brooks, because it already shits me how hard they look. He's playing well, but they don't want to mention the fact that he bombed two tries yesterday, one over the line, put a foot in the touch, and he bombed another try in Las Vegas. Like, he's playing great, don't get me wrong, and he looks fresh and he looks happy, but it's only the start of the season. Like, if Manly get a couple of injuries, let's see what happens there. But you know what I'd love to know with Manly, if Davey Cherry Evans gets injured, I guarantee you Luke Brooks won't be playing number seven. They'll bring whoever their reserve grade halfback is, whoever it is, Wakeham or whoever it is, they will keep Brooks at number six because they know that's his position, where we've tried to, you know, put a square peg in a round hole for 10 years and we shouldn't be doing that. And our coaches have to be better than that.
The thing about Brooks, I mean, he's not on $1.2 million at Manly. His halves partner is on one. He's playing with a $1.2 million halfback inside him. You've got to take that into account. When he was at the West Tigers, the fact is he was the $1.2 million halfback, and you're putting a Wakeham who's on park footy money outside him. So I don't think it's that surprising that Luke Brooks on half the wage with a state of origin half inside him, it's surprising that he's playing. And he's not, I wouldn't say he's, like you said, he's not setting the world on fire. He's playing in a team that's playing well and he's doing a job. I wouldn't say that he's like origin smoky or something.
my point.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
If Cherry Evans was playing State of Origin, they're in the middle of the year, and they put Brooks to halfback, and they put Joe Average at 5'8". Brooks is going to look how he looked at the Tigers for 10 years.
Yeah, 100%.
That's all I'm trying to say to you. So I think we've tried to make players into people that they aren't, and you know, it should have been the other way around. Like, geez, we had Moses at 6 and Brooks at 7 for so many years when it should have been the other way around. Like, we had it right there, but our systems, our people aren't recognising, you know, where the best position is for certain players, and that's got to change, guys. You know, because we do have the talent there, because guys that we think are above average, like I thought Tyson Gamble wasn't a footballer. The guy scored so many tries for Newcastle. He went pretty okay at Brisbane for a while. So guys seem to thrive at other clubs and they don't thrive at ours. And I'm not in Concord. I don't know why, but I want to know why. And I think I know Richo will get to all that and make sure it thrives. But it just pisses me off that, you know, every half average bloke goes to another club and looks decent. You know, Josh Alloway, guys like that, guys that would come off the bench or play 20, 30 minutes. Like, Josh Alloway looks like a decent prop forward now. You know, just anyway, that's just my little rant, guys. But I think we have to be better, because we want people to come to our club. We don't want people to say, well, you know, look, every time someone leaves, they go better at another club.
Alloway, to be fair, I thought he was playing pretty well before he left, and then he kicked up a stink and left. So I think Alloway looked like he was coming the goods for us as well. Anyway, moving on, enough talking about Manly, I guess. So Leichhardt Oval, a story came out today about Leichhardt Oval needing an upgrade. Otherwise, this story seems to be, it's always next year will be the last year, next year will be the last year. Obviously, there was the, what was it, a private school rugby cup or something when the kids all fell through the fence. Last year, was that last year or the year before that happened? Was that last year?
I think it was really late the year before.
Yeah. So obviously since that's happened, everyone's saying it's falling apart, blah, 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 blah. Even though, I don't know, if you go to Belmore or like somewhere like that, is it really that bad? But anyway, they're coming out and saying, we need funding. And look, as much as this story is probably just feeding into Leichhardt game this week, they're trying to get the narrative to get funding from the government. 100% agree with that. I know we've talked about Manly a lot, but obviously the comparison is with Brookvale. Just watching that game, when did Manly play? Yesterday. Was Manly yesterday? Yeah, Manly was watching that Manly game at Brookvale and seeing their brand new pristine stadium. I was just thinking to myself, how did they get the funding? And I kind of know the answer, but how do they get the funding for that? And Leichhardt, as Darcy Byrne preaches, it's not just the West Tigers that play Leichhardt Oval. They played, I think I saw the Women's A-League were playing. What's the Women's A? Is it W-League? What do they call the Women's A-League as? They were playing there. They use it for schoolboys. I'm pretty sure the New South Wales Gridiron play their grand final there. Like, it gets used for a whole heap of things. So I don't understand how Brookvale, I mean, maybe Brookvale Oval does get all those things at them, but it seems like Leichhardt Oval does get used a lot. I don't understand why it's not. Why can't we get any funding from the government for Leichhardt Oval? It's insane. Like, we don't have to knock it down and rebuild it, but surely there's something that can happen where they can get a bit of money through. I don't know. I don't follow politics enough to know. People have told me that Manly just happened to be in the right seat of the election to get funding. I'm not sure. Apparently, it's Albo's federal seat, Leichhardt Oval as well. I don't know. I don't honestly don't give a shit or follow politics enough to know what the answer is. But I mean, can we at least get a bit of funding for a lick of paint at Leichhardt and play? And the whole argument comes up again of, they're going to play all their games at Campbelltown, and then it creates fights online between the Magpies and Balmain fans and say, no, we should be going to Campbelltown. To be fair, we preach that Campbelltown is the future and maybe should get more games, but to lose Leichhardt Oval completely, which I don't think will happen. I think this will just keep going and going and going year after year, and they'll keep playing at least a few games there, because it's, like, literally, our friends over at the NRL Boom Rookies on their podcast the other day. They power ranked their favorite and Matt and Campo, their South and Raiders fans, so not Tigers fans. And they had a question. Someone asked, can you power rank your favorite stadiums in Sydney? And they went Campbelltown 2, Leichhardt number one. Leichhardt Oval is their favorite place in Sydney to watch footy, and they're not even Tigers fans. So I can't see Leichhardt Oval being lost at all. It's too much of a gem and too beloved for that to happen. But I don't know, Rob, do you have any insight or anything? I just think it's a Leichhardt game this week, and they're throwing it in the media on a Monday.
Yeah, I got a few things on this, Josh. Firstly, if we're going to get some money, it needs to be a multi-code approach to it, like not just us. It needs the soccer people. It needs, you know, what you said, the women's A-League or the gridiron or whoever's using the ground, and let it say like it's for all these different sports. But I got to be honest, guys, if this was like a proper stadium, like we're doing like a CommBank, this would lose its aura. We don't need $40 million, man. We just need, like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, people love sitting on the hill. People love sitting behind the grand. Just got to freaking fix the toilets. We've got a good grandstand there. We've got a couple of old grandstands. You want to change those grandstands, fair enough. We do not need $40 million, mate. Just have a place where you can hang a piss without, you know, having to walk over piss. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I mean, parking's always going to be an issue there. But I personally, I don't want to see the ground surrounded by grandstands and have it all corporatized and whatever, and that would be a waste of money for five games or three games or however many games we have there. I just think that the hill's the most beautiful looking thing there, like that, but just spend a few million dollars and upgrade the bathrooms, have a, you know, proper women's, proper men's, just get it, just tidy it up a little bit. It just needs a bit of a reno. It doesn't need a whole rebuild.
Shane Cole is throwing us a $5 super chat. Thank you, Shane, big supporter. He's also a top tier Patreon as well. Thank you, Shane. He said, if we were a winning side, Josh, and made the finals year after year, we would probably get the fund. We would get the funding, I believe. So, I mean, maybe, because our crowds, despite the team being rubbish, as the crowds at Leichhardt Oval year after year, unless it rains, I think we've been, touch wood, don't want to jinx it, because I think it might be meant to rain this weekend. But the crowds continue to be massive at Leichhardt Oval. I can't see, no matter what happens, I can't see Leichhardt Oval disappearing.
Yeah, like all three of our games that we had at Leichhardt last year, we had really solid crowds. I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but obviously round one and round two were fairly high numbers because obviously there was still a lot of hype for the season around that time, considering the signings we made. And even still, we got a decent crowd on the Saturday night game against the Cowboys as well. Like, and that the atmosphere that night was sensational. Obviously, since COVID happened, crowd capacity total for a lot of these venues with hills on them in particular have gone down, because I think they've obviously decided now that they have to, I guess, have people slightly more spread out now. So we're probably never going to see like a 22,000 plus Leichhardt game ever again, unfortunately.
Nah, never. Well, they did it before COVID. I think they stopped that. Oh, I'm just looking at the crowds now. I did look it up. The Sharks game was 19,500, and that was literally the last. So, obviously, yeah. the Gallon field goal game in 2019.
For a place in the semifinals for both teams.
Yeah. So, yeah. I thought they've lowered the capacity. I thought the capacity was actually lowered before then. But, yeah, it was 19,500 for that.
Wasn't there a game against the Rabbits or something? I don't
remember. Yeah, I was at that 2005. It was 2005. 2005. Okay. Yeah, it was 23,000.
Yeah.
We killed them that day too.
Yeah. Oh, that was unbelievable. That was early in the season.
Like Farrah scored 20, a few tries and Sutton scored a try, I think.
22,000. Nearly 23,000. Yeah, 24th of July. That was the first game I ever drove on my license to a game before I got my license.
That's a good way to remember it.
Literally the first time I ever parked my car at a footy game. And
we continue to get great crowds at Leichhardt, and I'm sure that's going to continue. Like, I don't know what sort of crowd we're going to expect this weekend. It's a Saturday night, a Saturday 7:30 game. So I'm not 100% sure. It is disappointing that we don't have any Sunday Arvo games because those are the ones we get the best crowds for. Like round one and round two last year were both Sunday 4 o'clock, I believe, and the crowds for both games were sensational.
Just looking at those crowds. So since COVID, in descending, so basically going back. So last game was 12, 13, 14, 10, 13, 15. So they've cracked 10. 10 was the lowest, and 20, that was the Raiders, when we got smacked by the Raiders last game of the year. I'm trying to think. I can't even remember. Man, I'm trying to think. Smacked by the Raiders would have been close to last game of the year. Actually, that was Father's Day. Remember that? The only, first game I took my son to. What a day. That was raining that day.
Which year was that?
2022. It was literally Father's Day 2022. Because I took my son.
Right, yep.
I went my son and my dad. Yeah, it was my son's first ever Tigers game.
The lowest recent crowd I can remember from Leichhardt, I think it might have been a different game in 2022 where it was extremely wet, extremely muddy. The hill was basically a pile of mud by the end of the game, and then they had a women's game happen after it. It might have been our Harvey Norman women's team, I think, played after it against the Bulldogs. And the crowd that night was fairly low, but I have a feeling that was to do with the rain and the state of the hill.
Yeah, weather, obviously, yeah, standing on the hill. We've talked about the game, the Cowboys, the runaway. There was pissing down rain on a Friday night against the Cowboys that we won.
2013.
Yeah, that was a great night. And, yeah, standing on the hill, when the weather's – it's even worse because if you go to a core stadium, you can sit undercover pretty easily and you walking on concrete now to walk through grass and, yeah, get muddy. I know first world problems, but people aren't going to go – going to take – as someone who said in the someone in the comments said that they're trying to – there's so many comments coming through. It's actually hard to keep up tonight. The comments are buzzing. GD Tiger, he said, I've been to Leichhardt a number of times. It's good as a novelty but not conducive to take small children, and the missus hates it because of the rank facilities. And, yeah, on a cold winter's night, on a wet, rainy night, 100%, you'd rather be at Combank or a core stadium. But, yeah, like we can't – unfortunately, we can't choose to have the time slot that we want, unfortunately. I just thought this was pretty funny. The Petruda ad.
We're losing you a bit at the moment, Josh, I think.
A piss take story. OHS concerns triggered debate over whether Leichhardt Oval should be turned into. Can you hear me now?
You're kind of coming in and out a little bit. Where you're
coming in and out. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about the Mariners thing, Rob, and I'll reset. the Mariners. Okay. Sorry. So Sean, can you hear me all right now?
Yeah, got you now.
Okay. All right. Never mind. So the Batuta Advocate put a story just saying, should Leichhardt Oval be turned into 600 Meriton apartments because the West Tigers are simply too shit to justify spending $40 million. Look, I know it's a piss take article, but the Sharks solved their problem by selling apartments next to the stadium. I know Leichhardt Oval obviously has the council pools. There's a soccer fields down the back. I don't know if you could actually, there's not the space to, obviously you don't need high rises or anything, but again, I'm not an expert in politics and I'm not an expert in real estate or what's it called? Civil engineering. So I don't know if you could actually do that, but I don't know. Rob, would that be, you're a bit more of an expert on that sort of thing. Would there be a way to get some real estate cash out of the area? You'd have to sell up the land that what's next door, the hospital?
There's all sorts. It depends which direction you go. But no, you're not going to get any development like Cronulla have done there. Look, I think, Josh, if we start, it's the old adage, but if we start winning games, you know, you guys just mentioned our first two games last year. We played Gold Coast and Newcastle. Like, Gold Coast are in Gold Coast, so they don't have many fans coming to Leichhardt. We had a decent crowd, and we were the reigning wooden spooners. And then we lost to the Gold Coast, and we got a decent crowd against Newcastle. And, yeah, sure, some Newcastle fans travel, but it's 2 hours away. So, like, you know, there's a capacity there to, like, we could get 15,000 every week if we were going half decently, you know. But like I said, if you just fix the toilets up a bit or just make it a little bit easier, it's always a bit of a shit fight to get out of there parking-wise, but, you know, you can live with that. I've lived with that all my life going to Leichhardt, and, you know, it's at the point now where I park on the other side of City Westlink, or when I go with you, Josh, you know, we park down at the hospital and walk for 15, 20 minutes. So, look, it's just... I don't know, guys. I if we're going to put money in development, I'd rather redo Campbelltown and have a fortress down there. But that's going to take some serious government funding as well.
Yeah, and play three Leichhardts a year for a special thing. Yeah, I agree with that. So West Tigers have hired Sean Millecamp. As do you know any? Your the name pronunciation King Millet. The way I read it is Millet. Millet, like the appliances, and then camp. So
I think it's just Millecamp.
Millecamp. Okay. We'll have to confirm that. I haven't actually heard it said. I've only read it. Someone will probably correct me in the comments. So basically, he used to be the CEO of the Central Coast Mariners, who won the A-League last year. Was it last year they won the A-League? I should know as a proud Coastie, but I think they won the A-League last year under his tenure. So he is now general manager of Community Foundation and Affiliates. So, look, I don't have much of an opinion on this. I just trust that Richo is going to hire the right people, Rob.
100%. Richo hasn't stopped since he's been appointed interim, and he's just trying to get the foundations right all around the club. And look, you know, I've seen a couple of people on Twitter saying it's a really good thing. I've got a Twitter friend, Peter Dickinson, who's into his soccer as well, a mad Tigers fan, and he rates this guy very highly. So that's good enough for me. So, look, I trust Richo, mate. Whatever he decides, I'm good with.
Jason T said, is he related to Johnny Cougar, Mellencamp? He's going to build us some pink houses. As do you have any opinion on that before we move on?
Honestly, no. I don't really know much about
that's all right.
John or anything like that, so I'll stay out of that one.
Yeah. Fair call. Speaking of things I don't know much about, it's IT stuff, but people that do know about that, Mobile Corp. So the MLC phone, formerly MLC Phones, used to sponsor the Tigers in the 90s. So they can help your local business. They can be a partner and take away the hassle of dealing with IT issues. Make sure you have cybersecurity in place. Handle all your mobile device needs. Mobile Corp is a family-run business, long-time supporter of the West Tigers. Reach out to Stephen and the team at Mobile Corp. Check out mobilecorp.com.au. That's mobilecorp.com.au. Big thank you to Mobile Corp for supporting the Westlife podcast again this season. Righto, we'll go back to the game. We're already 42 minutes in and we haven't even barely touched the sides of the game. Yet, we'll go try by try. I've got little clips here. So the first try, I believe, was to
Daniel Levi. In the tackle, Chris, for Savage. Oh, the Raiders are off. The Raiders have pressed the lime green button, which is lime green for go.
As thoughts on the first try to the Raiders?
I think this was just one of those weight of possession tries. They had been pressing against us for a while. We let them get a bit too much distance downfield and they made us pay for it pretty quickly, which was a bit disappointing because we had shown some pretty good resilience up until that point.
Righto, let's go. We'll pump
it. Levi, left side, straight, step, brilliant, straight, over, try for Canberra. How good is this kid?
Ethan Strange, getting over. Rob, thoughts on that try?
Yeah, well, I mentioned it earlier, guys. That's when Bud Sullivan had come in needlessly on the previous tackle, left a hole that Buller had to fill. He ran up too quick. He got stepped around him. And just on that previous try, guys, Stafford Toa, who's picked up an injury, missed tackle, and then missed tackle on Sebastian Chris. And also Charlie Saints couldn't hang on to him and he offloaded the ball to Savage, who went down the field. So, again, some simple one-on-one things and just some simple positional play that really cost us. You know, that just that right edge was really, you know, copying it.
The 24th minute, this thankfully happened.
Galvin, who takes over here, it will be the young fella running up to the line, inside to Buller. Buller's pass superb. Great try, Tigers. Sam Fainu has a try in first grade.
Then three of the youngest on the field. This is nice. Nice little moment here.
Well, he knew exactly what to do too. He saw the Raiders just backing off. Buller with a beautiful pass back on the inside for Harvey Norman. That's the replay. What a try. The Tigers hit back. They had plenty of time.
Free little plug for Harvey Norman there. As this was what I loved about this one was it going Galvin to Buller to Fainu, three young kids we've got a lot of hope for in the future.
Yeah, the youngsters really stepped up for this one. I'll tell you one thing, though. I didn't have Sam Fainu being our first try scorer of the season on my 2024 season bingo card. So
whatever that was paid. That would have been paying a fortune.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I really like the way the young kids went about it for that one. Obviously, Galvin, a hell of a talent who we'll talk about more a bit later on. Buller, we already know what he's capable of. And Sam Fainu, yeah, great finish. Great try for the team.
Not long after this. It's so annoying that it's not so... There we go. Here it goes.
Quick play the ball. Carousel for the Tigers. I don't know. He's claiming it. The ball rolled loose. The Tigers. Bang, bang, and they're back.
The Tigers, they look absolutely gone moments ago. They've come up with two quick tries blocked.
Rob, two words, Appy Coruscant.
Yeah, I'll give you another two words, guys. Lockie Galvin. Not only was he great on the try before, Lockie Galvin put Ice Papali'i into a bit of a gap, and to Ice Papali'i's credit, he got over the advantage line, had scattered the markers by then, and you don't give Appy Coruscant that much room. As soon as Appy picked up that ball, I was 90 metres away and I knew he was going to score. So great play from Appy, but again, beautiful ball from Galvin to Papali'i that the play before that set that up.
Unfortunately,
just on that one.
Yeah, sorry, go for it. Yeah,
I mentioned this in the Discord after the game, but I thought the entire lead up to that try from the kickoff was very sensational. Tigers footy. Obviously, we had a massive Fanua Pole. I think it was roughly a 20-meter run off the back fence to set up the first play. Appy got out of there, and I think it was another tackle later. Appy got out and was able to draw the penalty, running into the offside defender, an easy one that they literally have to give. And then after the kick downfield, like Rob said, massive play from Galvin previously. And then I like the way Appy just came into marker. Someone else was about to take the ball, I think, and probably pass it away. But yeah, Appy saw what was going on, saw what was on, came into marker and just went straight for it. And that was quintessential Appy. Like, he saw what was happening. He saw that there was an opening there, and he just went right in and took it himself.
Yeah, so we had basically 3 minutes of joy, thinking we're a chance here.
Bogarty, then for Hosking. Hosking offloads. Canberra, try number five of the match. It's another perk.
Isolate.
As so annoying. We're like literally back in the game 14-12, and then I think it was a minute and a half later, the Raiders hit back.
Yeah, we got that conversion, and as you can see, that was in the 28th minute. And then, yeah, two minute and a half later, Jordan Rapiner scores off an offload, which was just pretty poor defense in the end. And the little bit of hope and optimism we had, like starting to build back up again after what looked like was the starting of a good comeback and a good way of turning the game around, kind of just disappeared on us.
Yeah, I'll give Canberra a bit more credit there, Aaron. Like, I thought that was a really good Canberra try because they isolated Galvin. Yeah. And to Galvin's credit, I mean, he tackled Hosking. I mean, obviously, in the position Galvin was in, he wasn't in a position where he could take him ball and all. So, like, and Galvin never let go of him. He tackled him, but it was just too good from Hosking to get that ball to Rapana, who'd been feigning injury about 90 seconds earlier, 60 metres away, you know, clutching at his head and neck like he normally does, and he pops up and scores a try.
I was thinking at this time, look, 18-12 going into half time, to be only down one try, but
short time. No,
stop it. The Tigers' defence has been absolutely embarrassed. The lights may have been on, but I'm telling you, there was no one home.
Rob, embarrassed is an understatement.
Yeah, look, this was really disappointing for a couple of reasons. Obviously, Canberra really did their homework. Like, we all know they go up the middle, but honestly, guys, every opportunity Canberra got to take advantage of our inexperienced three-quarter line, they shifted the ball wide. Look, Sullen was asleep. Full credit to Canberra. They did well there. But what was disappointing, and it's, I think it just comes down to inexperience again and a bad decision. We got penalised by the referee for a strip when it wasn't a strip. Now, Fainu knows he didn't strip that ball. Mate, just tap it. You know, give Appy a tap on the shoulder and say, mate, challenge it. If we challenge that, we've got a scrum on halfway, a few minutes before halftime, down 20 to 12, possibly get it back to 20 to 18. So it was just a double whammy. Like, I thought the penalty was really harsh, but then obviously from the play, that was just under seven stuff, absolutely under seven stuff. And Sullivan just got caught having a bludge on the wing.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I've said this term before, sliding doors moment, as you said, that strip that wasn't a strip. Yeah, there's some
referees. But if you know you haven't stripped it, challenge. Like, you've got a challenge, obviously. Like, that's what I'm saying. That just comes back to Fainu having his, what, second game of, or first game of first grade with us. So, you know, if that was anyone else, he might have told Coruscant, you know, get the challenge thing out. But Appy didn't, even though he was involved in the tackle, Appy didn't see it. And Fainu's just accepted the decision and jogged on. But the Canberra player, I'm not sure who it was. It might have been Emre Guler or someone like that. He dropped the ball cold.
And then only one try in the second half.
Down closer to the post. Taken Hosking! He's the boy of the year! He can do it all!
As Lockie Galvin is a big boy, but yeah, he obviously got out-jumped and out, I guess, efforted by Zach Hosking on this one. You're on mute, Az.
Sorry, guys. I was saying, yeah, there's only so much a young bloke can do there. But I've got a little bit of an issue with that try because it looked like the Raiders player, Hosking, knocked it on into Galvin before taking possession back and grounding it. So I was a little bit concerned about that one. And that was a bit of a strange one, but I can't really fault too much of what Galvin did throughout the game. Hosking, he had the game of his career so far, and he was sensational, so can't fault that either.
And the game ended like this.
Front, do they want to be ruthless or do they want to just go to
Stefano, go.
Oh, now to the set men. Well, the Tigers' afternoon just got worse.
He must have backchatted here.
He said. He still wants him to look at the replay. Well done, Canberra. Great start to Super Saturday. The Raiders defeating the West Tigers by 32 points to 12 in front. Do they want to be ruthless?
Yeah, look, the game was obviously well and truly over, but Appy Coruscant not moving and blowing a penalty. Look, there were some decisions in this game. Obviously, the ref can't blame the ref for losing, but some absolute howlers in this game. Obviously, I thought there was a blatant forward pass for, I think it was the first or second try. It was offload from the center to the winger.
I think that was the first offload.
I thought it was a blatant forward pass, and the ball clearly went forward.
So you can't even say it floated forward because he was standing completely still.
Yeah, I thought he was off, literally standing offside. Yeah, but whatever. It's the West Tigers. NRL won't care. I didn't.
We were down to 12 men, Josh, and we didn't let them cross the line. They took the tap. They had 13 on 12. We didn't let them cross the line. There were some positives there. The boys never gave up. We've just got to be a bit more consistent over 80 minutes. There were a lot of good individual performances. There really were, but it just came down to, I thought we started with the wrong team. Caesar should have been there. Some one-on-one misses that are just unacceptable for first grade, but there was a lot of effort there. Like, I wouldn't question the effort, and a lot of other Tigers teams, you know, would have had 50 put on them, but I really give Canberra full marks because they moved the ball, they moved us around. They went through the middle, they went wide. When it was on, they got around us so many times, whether it was with Savage or whether it was with Tomiko, you know, down the other side. So they full credit to Canberra. They played really well.
Time for your player ratings. That's the wrong one. I've actually got last week's up there. We'll start with not so well, as, and I'll get you to, read out. We'll start with a negative and on a positive. So can you see the numbers all right there, as?
Yep, sure can.
So maybe you want to go from the highest percentage? Yeah, go descending order.
All right, so the player with the most votes, 94.5%, was Jaden Sullivan. 104 out of 110 people said he had a bad game. Next highest was Alex Seyfarth, 86, so 78.2%. Then there was Stafford To'a, 72 votes with 65.5%. Charlie Staines, 66 with 60%. And Junior Tupo, the last one above 50% of responses, with 50.9%, 56 votes.
Yeah, Rob, so Jaden Sullivan out and out, the number one scapegoat, but yeah, a lot of people not liking what he gave us Saturday.
No, look, I've said it a million times on this show, guys. Your halfback is your steering wheel of your car. And we didn't have a steering wheel. Well, we did when Lachie Galvin got the ball. It's probably why Appy was looking for Galvin more than looking for Sullivan. But I thought his kicking game was bland. His defense was awful. I think he might have only run the ball once or twice, and he looked very timid. He just looked scared. He just looked like a fish out of water. And look, maybe it's his first game. Maybe he was nervous. I don't know what it was, but I can guarantee you Aiden Caesar would have done a better job for him and for the team if he'd have started the game. To put Aiden Caesar on after the horse had bolted was just, I thought, a really, really poor coaching decision.
And as poor old Alex Seyfarth looked not too far behind him.
Yeah, it was a bit of a rough game for Alex. Defensively, I don't think he should be in that lock position. Maybe he could still come in off the bench, but as a starter, I don't think that was a solid game, and I think it proved that we do need to have a different player in that position. And I just want to add on Jaden Sullivan, I've actually heard that since the game he's deactivated his Instagram. If that's the case, that's really sad, because that means Tigers fans out there are still ripping into him for basically the bad performance, like many did with Brooks. And I just don't think that's okay. A player shouldn't have to feel like they need to delete their social medias to get away from, I wouldn't say criticism, because a lot of the time it turns more into bullying and just being absolute a-holes to the player. And I don't think that's okay. I think we as fans need to be a lot better when it comes to that. I don't think anyone who's like watching tonight would be one of those people, but I think as a whole, we need to do better and not make attacks personal towards any players, and just generally don't attack them at all.
Yeah, I mean, he might have just known he had a bit of a Barry Cochran.
He might have deactivated before he knew what was coming from the goons that target. The goons that target people like that. Look, I don't have the stats in front of me, guys, but I'm pretty sure Seyfarth got hooked quite early, like 15 minutes in. He didn't come back on for at least another 40 minutes. So he had a bad game. He had a really bad game, but I think it would have been a lot worse had he stayed on. He was hooked, and I only think he came on that back end of the game.
Right, on to the positives. So only 2.7%. So I think literally two people forgot the tick. They must have forgotten. I don't know why they haven't ticked Lachie Galvin and Appy Coruscant. 197 and 96% of people ticking them. And then coming in third, Dream Buller was 76%. And Fanua Pole, shouts Connor Nunes. Big game for Vanilla Pole, and his Dallas Mavericks just beating my Nuggets today as well. So good weekend for him. For Nunes, actually, speaking of Nunes, anyone would like to order, I've got to put it in the rundown tonight. We're doing our orders of our jerseys, our replica Westlife jerseys. If you want to have a look at them, send us an email. If you want to order one, podcast@westlife.com. We've got several people that are put in orders and sent their money through to order. We're going to order them at the end of this week. So if you'd like to buy one, if you want to have a look, I can send you through the screenshot as well. So send it through a podcast, slide into the DMs or apply, and I'll tell you all the details for that one. Fanua Pole, 75%. So the two very standouts, three-quarter standouts there. Stefan Puppy getting 55% as well behind that. Any of those numbers surprise you, Az?
No, that's kind of the way I expected it to go for the most part. They were our probably four or five best players out there for the day. And it was really good to see some of those players step up the way they did. Obviously, Jareem is probably going to get a lot of votes most weeks, even if he makes a mistake or two. I think what he does more than makes up for any possible minor errors. Appy was absolutely sensational, as was Galvin. Yeah, I'm not surprised to see those players get the bulk of the votes.
Sorry, got a bit of a tangent. Dylan asked how much the jerseys are. Just $80, mate. We're selling them at cost price, literally for what Dynasty are selling them for. We're getting them cost price. We just want to, get some merch out there. If you guys want to, proudly wear the Westlife colours. And it's based on, I don't think I mentioned it, just for anyone who doesn't know, it's based on the retro jersey of 2014, the white, orange, and black large horizontal stripes. So slide in the DMs and I'll tell you more info of any of the Westlife social accounts. Rob, any numbers on the player votes that stand out for you?
No, not really. I think, the guys that we thought were the best have polled pretty well. Look, as I said earlier, a lot of really good individual performances. I just felt, the start of the game in particular, look, they got nine sets in a row after that Fata Ape poor pass from dummy half. And the ref really, gave them a roll on as well, to be fair. I just expected a different start from the team, given we were so awful against St. George. I really thought we'd come out firing, and I just didn't see that. I saw a lot of effort. And individually, I saw some belief, but as a team and certain other players, I saw guys hoping that we would win as opposed to believing they would win. I just wanted the team to play with a bit more purpose. But again, as I've said repeatedly the last few weeks, guys, new squad, combinations take time. First game of the season, Canberra had a game last week against Newcastle. We haven't had a game yet. So I just felt like we were a bit behind the eight ball. We're going to get better. And that's all I want to see. I want to see improvement. Nothing's changed sadly, for my expectations for the year, but that's all right. When I see what Lockie Galvin did, you had to be there live, guys. I'm just so in awe of what he can do. And I'd never heard of this bloke 3 weeks ago. Like, I'd heard of him, but I'd never watched him until I saw him in the back half of that Saints game. And, a trial is one thing, but he looked like a 200 gamer. He's just got it all. And he's so young. And he's tough. He's a really tough player. Like, he got some hospital passes and they tried to gang tackle him and he wouldn't take a backward step, man. Like, besides having the sleight of hand and the smarts and everything like that, he's a tough bugger and he's a kid. He's got attitude and we need 30 of those guys in the club, not just one. I know we've got a few, but guys like that he'll make other players around him better.
For sure. So we're bringing back the 3-2-1 for this year. The way we're going to do it is the top three players. Rob is going to do a 3-2-1, Az is going to do a 3-2-1, and then the people's votes, so the top three highest voted on the player bowl get a 3-2-1 as well. So according to your votes, it is I've ruined my screen here. I've actually put a – look, I shouldn't – point out my mistakes, but it's pretty blatantly obvious. But it is, it's Galvin 3, Appy 2, and Buller 1 for your vote. Az, who have you gone?
So I went Appy 3, Galvin 2, and Papali'i 1.
And Rob?
Yeah, I think I went Appy 3, Galvin 2, and Steph 1.
You sure did?
Sorry?
Yeah, you did. That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't have it in front of me. But honestly, guys, I could have given it to Galvin because to play like that in his first game was ridiculously overachieving. And for Appy at the back end of his career to be busting out 80 minutes and giving us a captain's knock like that, that was just sensational. And I thought Steph really bent the line with every run he did, and maybe he didn't have the output that people want to see, but I just thought he was tough. And I got to be honest, guys, I love the fact at the end of the game that he questioned the ref's, you know, parentage and his intelligence and got simping, because that show that shows he's frustrated and he wants to win.
Yeah.
And one thing that bothers me with, like, you know, if we do lose a lot of games, is I don't want someone like Steph feeling frustrated and thinking, man, I've got to get out of here. Look how good Luke Brooks is going at Manly. You know, we need to just be better as quick as we can, learn as quick as we can, get some wins, get some confidence, and we need Steph, you know, with us for the long haul. Don't want him to getting out because of some stupid clause that he didn't play rep football this year or that we didn't make the semi-final. So that does bother me down the track, but love that he cares enough that he, you know, like you hardly hear a peep out of him. The fact that he got sin-binned for back chat was just beautiful.
So that leaves the totals for the 3-2-1. Appy's on 8, Lockie Galvin on 7, and Steph Baller and Pappy get 1 apiece. So we'll keep that in tally for as the season goes on. Right, our stats, man. We've got the game stats for this game. Any that stand out to you?
My stats for the night isn't to do with stats from the game. It was what we alluded to earlier with games played between our both teams 1-7. And I've actually got a confession to make. When I gave Rob the number 300 and something, I think I did earlier.
That's too much, isn't it?
That was using Aiden Caesar as the number 7, not Jaden Sullivan. So the correct number is 178. Between our 7, which averages to be about 25 games each. And that, like I said, that includes 2 debutants. In comparison to that, the Raiders, they have one player, Jordan Rapana, who had played 202, which is almost 30 more than our entire 7 have played altogether. But their total, 470, which averages to be about 67. If you take out Rapana's games, it goes down to 268. And between the other 6 of them, that still averages out to be around 45. So there, and that's with Ethan Strange having only played 2 games prior to this one. So that basically means they had all of, like, their average games between all 7 of their players accounted to more games than any of our 1-7 have played individually. So that I think is a pretty telling stat in the way they were able to handle the game compared to how we handled it.
It's just ridiculous Caesar didn't play, guys. I just can't. Yeah, we needed experience and direction, but we needed it from the first minute, not the 55th.
100%. A few stats from the game, elsewhere in the game, 55% possession for the Raiders in the end. Obviously, the first 15 minutes was probably, I think it was about 80 or 90%. We kind of clawed that back a little bit. Completion rate for the boys, 27 of 33. Look, that's not too bad, but the Raiders, 37 of 41. They had an extra 8 sets on us, Rob.
Yeah, and it's not just what you do with it, guys. Like, if we condensed our defense, they got around us. If we spread out, they try to go up the middle. Look, there's so many things we need to improve on, obviously defensively, but the one thing I would like to see is we had a chance that first 10 minutes of the second half. We had all the ball. You know, we were camping their quarter line. And again, it was that red zone attack that I didn't see what I saw in the first half. In the first half, I saw a little bit more variety. It was almost like at halftime, we said, guys, we're not sticking with the plan. And, you know, look, even though I've given you man of the match, Appy went a couple of times from dummy half too many, a couple of one-out hit-outs too many. I just think in a set of 6, we only threw like one serious movement at them, as opposed to the good teams will throw 2 things at you or 3 things at you in a set of 6. So I would like to see, you know, we got that red zone's got to work a bit better. But I think it would have if Caesar was there, because I don't know if you guys noticed that when Caesar got the ball, guys, his passes to Galvin or to whoever his next player he was passing to were much longer, they were much flatter, and they were bullet-like. They were like, 15-meter torpedo passes where it was almost like Sullivan was trying to hand the ball to his next person on a plate. Like, it just had no conviction. And I just thought Caesar just gave us a little bit more. Even when Caesar kicked that ball through, like, if he'd kicked it a bit shorter, we might have even scored. So I just think Caesar had to be there. Might not have changed the result, but we have to start picking our best 17 players and our best starting 13 every week. We can't afford to get it wrong in the selection room, boys.
Just shout out. Gussie sent it through a couple of super chats, as is Brandon. We'll get to those soon, fellas. Thank you very much for those. Missed tackles, 36 for the... 36 missed tackles for the West Tigers, 24 for the Raiders. I mean, when a team misses 24 tackles, as you kind of expect, to should score more than two tries.
Yeah, you'd think so. We just, yeah, still seem to have the same problems as last year with what to do with the ball once we got into good attacking areas. Connections will hopefully continue to come with time, but we just have to give them that time at this point.
Errors, 9 apiece. So, yeah, Raiders, they had enough stinkers. Penalty count, 13-7, Roberto. So we conceded 13 penalties in this one.
Yeah, look, that the ref, I thought, really tried his hardest, you know, to help them out. I mean, I know it's, you know, it sounds like I'm making excuses for our team, but, you know, we weren't our own best friends, but the ref wasn't either. So, yeah, we look at that was just a home crowd ref. And I think we saw that most notably when Caesar, like, just glanced Rapana's neck / shoulder, and the crowd just booed. And as soon as they booed, he instantly gave a penalty.
Yeah.
And, but I thought I was actually really happy that Rapana got paid back and got sent to the head bin. You're going to act, piss off, and go to the head bin.
Yeah. Suck shit to him. Meter, top meter eaters. So Jerome Buller had 166. Lockie Galvin was second in meters. Our 5'8 was second, 146 meters of work as.
Yeah, it was pretty clear that he wanted to run the ball, and he's obviously got the talent and the ability to run the ball. Obviously, those numbers are propped up by that one really big run he made in the second half, where we probably would have scored a try if he looked to his right and saw that Aiden Caesar was there backing him up. But yeah, he tried to back himself and go around the player, and it didn't work out, unfortunately. But yeah, he's got some speed, he's got some ability, and he's got a good eye for when to run the ball.
I think those meters with Galvin guys are even more impressive when you consider how many good kicks, good little grubber kicks he put through, how many good passes he put to other players. And, you know, that break that Az is talking about, like, he made that break. He went through three blokes and made that break. And look, I like, having watched the replay, I think Caesar was covered. But, you know, like, I just honestly, guys, I'm in love with this bloke. Like he is to me what Sean Bloor is to Josh. Wow. I'm just so freaking excited about this guy. It's not funny. And I guarantee you, mate, every club's going to be knocking down the door to get him. Mm. He's that good. He's special.
Sure. Yeah, I won't declare him my favorite player just yet, because that's a cursed thing, it seems.
Yeah, don't ever do it, please.
Post-contact meters, for Noah Pole, 48. So I thought he had a pretty good game. Line breaks, only one apiece for Appy. Lockie, Charlie, and Fainu. And yeah, hit.
I was just going to say, guys, the funny thing with Pole, we all saw him run off the back fence after Fainu's try. And then he stood about 5 metres behind the deadline after Coruscant's try. And Fogarty just decides to kick it to the other side of the field and avoid Pole. So.
I kind of expected that to happen as well.
Yeah, it was so good. I thought, you know, that's great. That just, they didn't want to kick it to him because they knew what he was going to bring, and I love that attitude. It's really good.
Mm. Yeah, he's definitely another shining light. We're finding plenty of shining lights in what was a big loss. I think it's not as doomsday as a lot of people are thinking. There's something there. Hit ups, Pappy. Also, yeah, I think he looks much better this season compared to last. He was a little bit quiet, especially at the end of last year. 13 hit-ups for him. Offloads, 4 for Bateman, 4 for Puppy as well. Top tacklers, Appy, Coruscant had 40 and 4 missed. Fainu had 38 and 3, and I don't have it in front of me, Has, but he almost had as many tackles as Appy, and he came off the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. tackling machine. I really liked seeing the effort that he put in defense. Didn't miss too many either, which is really, really good. And I think he played 57, 58 minutes or something like that. So that kind of effort in that amount of time, pretty solid for a big young forward.
And Michelle sent us through a super sticker, our first super sticker. I don't think we've had a super sticker. They're like a little emoji thing. I can't actually see what it is from my end, but I'm sure it's awesome. Thank you, Michelle. We'll give you all shout-outs soon. So the halves were... Look, I put a section here for the halves, and I think we've done that to death tonight. We've talked about, what to do in terms of who should be where, and I think we'll probably touch more on it once the team list is out on Tuesday and then Wednesday night. Is my audio dropped out again?
No, not at all. I just want to touch on...
Oh, right.
So that's why I was putting my hand up, sir, asking you a question, please.
Sorry. Okay. Yes, young man in the back.
I just think this is also, I can see Benji going two ways here. He can say to Sullivan, I'll give you another chance to redeem yourself, or he can do the right thing and do what he should have done and play Caesar. But I just want to point out, guys, the Dolphins looked absolutely terrible against the Cowboys in round one. Wayne Bennett didn't freak around. He dropped Sean O'Sullivan, coincidentally almost the same name. He dropped O'Sullivan first week. They put Katoa in yesterday, and they looked like world beaters. And he got rid of Tessie New as well. Bennett doesn't take crap. If something goes wrong, he drops them, and he makes your team better, and he holds you accountable. If Benji's wants to be like Wayne Bennett, he's just got to bite the bullet and say, Sullivan, that's not good enough. Benji spoke on the fan last week with Andrew Voss saying we're setting standards, et cetera, et cetera. Bud Sullivan did not set the standard that this club needs to uphold. He needs to go back, work on his game, or at a minimum be put back to the bench. And people would have heard today, even South Sydney have dropped Lockie Ilias. So there's nothing wrong with dropping your halfback. So that's just my final thing I want to say about the halves.
Yeah, West Tigers haven't really. Any other team changes as you're expecting on Tuesday? This will be pointless if anyone listens to this after 4 p.m. Tuesday afternoon, but... Yeah, anything I've got left Alex Lobb's photo there. Lobb City. I want to see Lobb City get a crack. And I think with the injury to Stafford Toa, there has to be at least one change in the outside backs.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. Toa's going to be out for probably about 2 months. I think they were saying possible syndesmosis. Mm-hmm. But it seems likely at this point that Justin Olam may come back into the side, which gives Solomona Fa'atape a chance to potentially kind of lock down that other center spot. But there's still also, I think, the Felity to come back. He might get a run. There's also Naden to come back. He might get a run. So we have started the year with some injuries, obviously some off-season surgeries that recoveries.
Hopefully Olam.
I think we'll see Olam back in.
Hopefully he's ready to go. He'd be a huge in. Righto, so thank you to everyone who submitted for the player poll. Keep an eye out. We literally had 100 and something. It was well past the 100 mark. So thank you to everyone who submitted their votes in the player poll. Here are some of the best comments. So Grant said, typical performance, need to change the starting forwards. Clemmer off the bench, start the game with some size like Fainu. Don't mind that idea. Ben said, things aren't going to change overnight. Galvin looked the goods, but need everyone to be patient with him. Polly, great impact off the bench. Edards said, I honestly think there was way more to work with than people think. We only had 45% possession, invited Canberra into our half of penalties, and six again every second set. When we subbed Sullivan, Seyfarth, and Toa off, we looked much better physically. The problem areas are exactly where we thought they would be. Richo knows it, and Benji knows it. We all knew this era would be a tough start. I saw fire and emotion in a lot of the boys today. I think when we get this right, we might be pleasantly surprised this year.
You cut out for a bit of a section of that, Josh.
Sorry, Ed. That's a bloody good comment too. He said, I think when we get this team list right, we might be pleasantly surprised this year. That was a great comment.
I agree.
From Edard. Joey Lulash, he said, the most glaring issues that were there. This is Joey's writing. Yeah, that were there all preseason. was the reason we lost today. Outside backs are the worst in the comp. We need a genuine 13. Attempting your name here. Chiranth Krishna Kumar. I think I've got that right. Yep. Our starting middle forwards in Steph, Clem and Seyfarth lack any go forward, punch or direction. Too many one-dimensional meat and potatoes forwards. We had 3 weeks to prepare and got physically manhandled. Sam Fainu should be starting, had a blinder, high work rate, made 39 tackles and really reliable on the edge and middle. Was looking to offload as well. Galvin by far was our best player, tried his absolute guts out. Kick chase was first on contact. Was just challenging the defensive line every time. Also, 22 tackles and zero missed. I didn't notice that. 22 tackles for Galvin, zero missed. I would be looking to start Galvin and Caesar next match, as well as Fainu. Clem just doesn't have that impact anymore. Safe after reserve grade. Our starting wing is a woeful. Tupou looked scared to catch a ball. No effort to make a contest on the high balls. That's a big worry. Chinref's got a podcast in itself there. Nicely said.
Really good comment, but I don't agree with the Steph part, but really good comment.
Dominic Riordan. The team lost confidence and their defensive structure in that first 15 minutes when the Tigers had no ball. They got back into the contest, only the blowout of bad defensive lapses just before halftime. But the real worry is they still look so poor in attack. They had enough ball to get back into the game in the first 20 minutes of the second half, but again, looked pedestrian. Connor Noons said, lost the game with sloppy handling, poor kicking and terrible discipline in the first 20 minutes of the game. Did well to fight back to even up the scoreline, even give them half a chance in the second. Sullivan needs a stint in reserves. He has zero confidence in his ability and the half on the bench isn't the go. He didn't even mention Fanil Pole once. Good on your news.
Agreed, Connor.
Paul Luck said, Galvin and Fatape both showed us versus some of our... Sorry, showed no, did showed up, showed both showed up versus some of our more experienced players. Seyfarth, Toa, and Sullivan were liabilities whose positions deserve to be questioned. Let's face it, we have seen worse over the last few years. Kane, aka my brother, he said Galvin was the only one who had a crack. Takeaways from that: need blokes running off Galvin. Some kind of kid chase would be nice. Seyfarth sucks. Going to be a long year. Not a lot of joy in the Barnett household this week. Jared Hunt, we have gotten everything out of Tupou that West can get. He's not here next year. The team more than ever just needs to look forward and give the time to the players who will be here. I can't wash his butterfingers anymore. Kathy said line speed too slow at times, lack attacking direction. We desperately need centers, but can see improvement from last year and think we'll improve quicker than last year. Kim R said, we showed just quietly too, a lot of ladies.
Great comments.
Yeah, and a lot of ladies in the poll as well. Really, appreciate a lot of listeners as well. Really love that we have despite us being three dribbling males, so we have a lot of female listeners. Really appreciate it. We showed an improvement on previous years. Can't give starts like we did other than the first 20. We were thereabouts moving forward. Pick Caesar and Galvin in the halves. Seriously, we should have sent Bateman to Melbourne, not Blaw. He is a total liability. Gives away too many penalties, never in position, and just wants to fight. Hopefully, Olam is back next game. Miss you, Sean. Stephen Georgialis, still a lot of work needed in defence. But until we get 50-50 calls going our way, it's going to be hard, 100%. We just can't compete when we get a number of bad calls against us. Joshua McRatbag, he's written a big one here, and I'm running out of breath. Actually thought it was a fair start. We are obviously still nailing our best team with some players getting a chance to prove themselves. Our first game together, what is mostly a whole new squad and coaching staff. I'm not buying any of the negativity in the media. I'm going to keep moving through. That was a good comment there. Doreen, the ref was an undercover Viking. Here we fucking go again, but only round one. Doreen's an elite. She's always got great comments, but only round one. Oh, and Jordan Rapana should wear a tutu when he plays for fuck's
100%. 100%.
Matthew Thompson, good to have the footy back. Too many penalties. Keen to get out to Leichhardt next weekend and hopefully see all you boys there. Go the Tigers. A great one to finish there. 100%. three of us, will be there with bells on.
I kind of have to take Matthew to the game, so he'll see me at least.
Oh, is that your brother?
That's my brother.
Oh, right. I was going to say, when I saw the name,
it's not like
I was
you, like, Josh, not to ask, is he any relation? Like, you're asking if people in America are related to Marcus Mariota. You're not asking a Thompson right in front of you. What's going on, mate?
Yeah. But it's such a common
name.
Did
you have any super chats that had to be read out or whatever? Or what happened to drink of water? Or do you want us to talk a little bit while you get your breath?
That's all right. I'm just powering through. I'm all good. So, yeah, Michelle sent us a super sticker and $8. Good on you, Michelle. Brandon sent us through $3. Said, get behind the boys against the Sharks. Let's go. Gussie Harris, he's sent us two different ones. He's got $2. Bud Sullivan, chin up, young king, much love. And then a $5 super chat. I love footy. 44 points scored, just saying. Many positive signs. Viking clap round one was terrifying. No more ender over end kicks for fudge sakes. Yeah, put a floater up, please. Like, every other team seems to fucking have a floater, and we literally do an AFL pass kick to the fullback.
I think Adam Dewey's really our only player that's really good at those high floating bombs. So need to get a little bit of work onto that and some of the other boys.
Isn't Pat Richards working with the team?
Yep.
Come on, Patty. Like, help him out. Tips from the weekend. I tipped identical. We got 7. We all got the Dragons wrong, and the only one we tipped different, only game that we tipped different, as and I tipped Manly. Rob went the Roosters, so as and I got 7, and Roberto got 6, much better than last week. Look, it was all home teams, wasn't it, that won on the weekend?
Correct. I actually got 5. I changed my tip, but that's okay.
Yeah, okay. You didn't have to. You didn't have to say that.
I've got to be honest about it.
Lower grades. Which one did you change, Rob?
I changed to New Zealand, who had a 8-point lead and clutch defeat from the jaws of victory. With that amazing try to Xavier Coates, which was, I think I've already seen it 20 times. It's something to behold, isn't it?
That was.
You'll keep seeing it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Lower grades of the Harold Matts. The Magpies, I believe, have secured either their playoff spot. I think they're guaranteed a playoff spot or something. They beat the Rabbitohs 26-14. Balmain, not good for the Balmain Tigers and the juniors. 46-0 in Harold Matts to the Doggies. And in SG Ball, I think the Magpies in SG Ball aren't making the semis this year. I'll get to the table in a second. And the Doggies smacked the Tigers 42-6 in that one as well. Yeah, so Harold Matts, Maggies on top, Tigers at the bottom in SG Ball. Magpies are in 5th. Maybe they can make it. Someone might be able to tell us in the comments, but I think...
I'm just checking how many rounds the comp is while you keep talking.
I think it's not long to go. It is a lot of teams, surely.
Yeah, 9 rounds. There's two rounds to go.
So they only play half the teams. You only play half.
Yep. They might be, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Conferences?
Conferences, yeah. They might be split up half and half, and you play the teams in your conference sort of thing, potentially.
Yeah, the table's just one big table, so I don't know. Obviously, they're not going to be able to play the kids. How many teams are there? 16? They can't play 15 games, so what can you do? Tasha Gale, they lost 30-4 to the Doggies at outing Camden, and Lisa Fiola, they got done by the Doggies, got the Bulldogs. Dogs and the two 88-89 teams, Rob, the club got smacked by.
Thank you for inviting
all weekend. Yeah. Tasha Gale table, the girls are in 9th, and in Lisa Fiola, they're in top, they're still top 4. So the younger girls carrying the flag. Laurie Daly Cup, they lost their semi-final, but the Andrew Johns Cup boys, the MacArthur West Tigers, have made the grand final. Congratulations to them. They beat the Knights, funny enough, in the Andrew Johns Cup, which is in Singleton, which is Pretty funny. Super chats. We've already done the super chats. Patreon.com/WestLife. Have the guys got anything for us? We might save. Look, we're 90 minutes here. We might save them. I love you guys, but it's been a long one tonight. We'll save it for Wednesday night. I think there's some good stuff in there. Patreon.com/WestLife. If you want to support the show and, yeah, buy me a new throat possibly after all those great comments. A lot of reading tonight. Apologies to anyone who hates.
I'm surprised you didn't palm some of them off to me.
I was.
Same here, mate.
I was on a roll. I had, the internet was working. I thought I'd run with it. Righto, next episode. That brings us to the end of tonight's show. Next episode, obviously, Wednesday night, 8:30, previewing the first home game of the year, a Leichhardt Saturday evening game. So, yeah, can't wait for this one. Really looking forward to look. The Sharkies, they're 2-0, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They've been very resilient the first two games.
I don't know. I feel like a bit of a bounce back. I don't know if I'll tip our boys, but I feel like it's. I was looking at the betting today. I think it's a 11-point line for the Tigers so far. So I think we can keep it close in this one. I'm really looking forward to getting to the eighth wonder of the world, seeing you fellas too. I don't think we haven't seen each other in the flesh for a while as well. Seeing just being around West Tigers fans. I didn't go to any trials or obviously round one or round two. Just haven't seen the West Tigers live since last year, I guess. So
I think the last time really I saw you, Josh, was the Big Bash Sydney Smash at
of
the
course.
Showground.
Yeah, that was. Yep.
And that was my son. Just before Christmas, I think.
Yep. Your Sixers smashed my Thunder. Anything else to add before we head off to get into our Tuesday, fellas?
I just want to give a quick shout out to Benny, one of our listeners and mad West Tigers supporters who wanted to catch up for a meet.
Smiling Saiyan.
On Saturday afternoon, got to meet him and his grandma, and it was just really good to, you know, see the Tigers colours there and saying g'day to people on the way in, on the way out, and still with smiles on their faces. And look, I hope everyone tries to get out to Leichhardt on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, Cronulla are going to be missing Britton Nakora, I would say. I'm sure by the time we do Wednesday night, we won't be seeing his name in the Cronulla team list. And I'm just hoping Caesar is our starting seven. And I want to see Lob City there, guys. He's just got so many points in him and he'll be a massive target, you know, for some really good kicking. So I'm hoping Alex Lobb gets a start this week as well.
100%. Gussie's got another super chat, $2, just to say, much love, Ben, from the West Life podcast number one fan. I think he's referring to
Ben Ellis, eh?
Yeah. I on Twitter, I call Gussie our number one fan, and Benny, who's a great supporter of our show too. He's always been, since day dot, been a great supporter of our show as well. And I call Gussie number one.
How good's the Discord been, Josh? Like the chat has been through the roof. It really has. Yep. It's been really good constructive chat and lots of varying opinions.
Even I think there was a lot of soccer chat this morning. Monday morning's always busy in the soccer channel as well, talking other sports. So, righto, guys. Is that it? As anything to add before we head off?
I just want to say another massive thank you and shout out to everyone who filled in the survey and gave us some absolutely cracking responses there. It's really good to see that there's a lot of familiar names coming through in the responses that we see in the chat all the time and others that we see on the socials. And it's really good to see all those opinions coming through. I finally got my dad and my brother to fill out the survey for the first time, as we saw my brother was one of the ones that you featured today. And just to add on the Discord as well, it's really good. I really like seeing how respectful everyone can be, even though we often have differing opinions. There's so much respect. No one tries to bite each other's heads off, and we disagree respectfully and politely. It's just an awesome chat to be a part of.
It is. It's a great little community that we've built in there. There's no egos, no dickheads. It's 100% all love in there. For one another. Lots of laughs as well. So, yeah, love yous all in the and I love every one of our listeners, all the thousands of you, the hundreds of you that joined us tonight, again, live on the YouTube. Again, if you listen to this, not, which is 90% of you, try and join us live Wednesday night, 8:30, if you can, on the YouTube channel. And also, before we go live Wednesday night, as your episode of the 1% Club as well, keep an eye out. Watch Jim Jefferies on Channel 7. Is it 7:30?
7:30, yep.
7:30, check it out. See if you can spot Az in the crowd. Yeah, maybe a swear word comes down the mic when you get the one question wrong. No spoilers. Righto, guys. As always, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Be Wednesday.
Oop, I think we just lost Josh as he was...
That's all right. He'll edit this out when he yep. gets back in. He's having such a hard time with his internet, isn't he?
Yeah, it seems like the new venue that he's recording from doesn't have the best of internet, but might need to message him and let him know that he didn't end the stream before we lost him.
He's
coming back. There he is.
What fucking timing by my internet. Great time. Literally, as I went to hit the finishing song, Go the Tigers.
Yeah, we need some of that $40 million. Just like give you.
I'm not even recording at home. I'm recording in the office. It's fucking. I'm using Ethernet straight to the laptop. I don't know what's going on.
It ain't working. Let me give you the tip.
Stream may go all night now.
Good night, everyone. Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. Please follow us at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter and facebook.com/West Life Pod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/West Life and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the West Life Podcast.